Let's bring in the president and CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays, Mark Shapiro. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Jeff. Good morning, Stephen.
10-13, probably not the record. Well, I don't think anybody wants to be 10-13 at any point in the year, although it is early. But what have you seen from this team so far? What do you like and what concerns you?
Well, let me start by saying I really work hard not to draw any conclusions till 40 games in. I think, you know, everything gets amplified and magnified early in the season, just because of the number of games you've played. The most fortunate thing that's happened doesn't have anything to do with us. It has to do with the fact that the division's pretty wide open. So where we are not where we want to be, and let me make that clear, nobody is happy with 10-13. Nobody is satisfied with where we are. You know, what is probably most advantageous to where we are is that, you know, we're going to have time to sort it out and to get better, and I think we're going to progress to the talent level that this club has. You know, the most concerning probably trend would be bullpen, but bullpen is an area that is constantly a work in progress and, you know, almost always needs to be adjusted and tweaked as the season goes along. It's the least consistent, reliable area of building a major league team from year to year. Otherwise, I still think we're going to be a good offensive team, and I have been relatively pleased with the starting pitching.
Mark, we need to address the Chris Colabello situation a little bit. Obviously, a bit of a shock to the organization, I think, with the positive test and the suspension. Chris was interviewed by Jamie Campbell. I know you saw the interview. And one of the things he said there unequivocally, was that the only supplements that he has taken, the only things that he has put into his body were things that were provided for him by the Toronto Blue Jays medical and training staff. So no one's disputing that, including Chris, no one is disputing the science of the positive test. And so he tested positive for the marker for a steroid. That is beyond dispute. So then that gets into the area of, okay, how did it get there? And if the only things he received were things from the Toronto Blue Jays, is that something that you've kind of cross-checked? Is there any reason to have cross-checked that? Have you looked at what he was given specifically by the team? Have you looked at whether those
We all kind of follow the guidance of the program, and the program is administered, run by a joint effort of Major League Baseball and the union. So there is not a substance, there is not a supplement, there is not a any support, you know, whether it's hydration, you know, snack bars, you know, protein bars. There is nothing in our clubhouse that doesn't have the NSF approval stamp on it. Again, we just work off of what the guidance we're given from the program, and the program assures us and the players' union that if it's NSF approved, that it cannot trigger a false test. So again, I'm going to tell you that I found out the day that you found out about Chris. So, and I have not spent a ton of time since then because the appeal happened before that. You know, examining the situation, the circumstance. We've got a team to manage. We've got, you know, a ball club to run, and beyond the ball club, we've got an organization to oversee. So it's really a Major League Baseball Players Union, Chris Colabello issue. We support him personally, care about him deeply, but we're not involved in this situation beyond, you know, just being supportive.
So you didn't go back and review, and again, in terms of the NSF certification, I know, like, the players are essentially guaranteed, right, under the agreement that if NSF approved supplements provided by the team will not cause a positive test. There's no that it's ironclad, right? Am I correct about that?
Again, I'm not. You know, I haven't spent a ton of my life studying those things, but that's my understanding. I mean, there's supposed to be that guarantee that anything NSF approved.
But you haven't. You guys haven't, or have you gone over exactly what Chris was given by the team?
I don't think anybody, I mean, we have nothing available that's not NSF approved.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. So that.
I mean, that's not just the Toronto Blue Jays. That's every single team in baseball. There's so much care around that right now. There is nothing that is team provided. There's no strength coach. There's no training staff. There's no performance staff that, you know, in today's day and age is, you know, let anything be available that's provided by the team that's not NSF approved.
So there's nothing within that closed loop that could explain the positive test?
I mean, again, not having deployed private detectives and, you know, investigated it, there's nothing. I can't imagine there could be anything.
You know, I want to talk about the bullpen in a minute, but one thing I did want to ask you.
By the way, just one more thing. That test happened, Steven, I think the first day he got to spring training. So,
right. Pitchers and catchers reporting.
Yeah, he wasn't in a Toronto Blue Jay environment prior to that.
Okay, see, this is the thing that interests me, though, Mark, and I want to just look at this a little bit. I know I only have you for a few more minutes, but, I mean, I believe both you and Ross when you say you didn't find out about it until the morning of the announcement.
That's the truth.
Well, but Kevin Pillar knew a month ago.
Again, that's Chris. So Chris found out, again, this is really not something I should be spending that ton of time on, but Chris found out the day he got a positive test. And what he chose to tell was up to him. We were not people he chose to tell. It's Kevin's his friend, not just his teammate.
Okay. I want to move on to the bullpen. You talked about, and I think most people would agree with you, that's kind of the area of concern right now. And we know that guys in this bullpen have a track record, guys like Brett Cecil, guys like Drew Storen. You talked about how, you know, bullpens have to be tweaked during the year and have to be adjusted. As far as you're concerned right now, do you have what you need in that bullpen? It's just a matter of trying to, you know, make the tweaks and the adjustments internally?
I would like to be more unequivocal in affirming that, but no, I can't say that. I mean, I think, again, accepting that there is volatility in bullpen guys year to year, you know, some of that has to do with usage patterns the year before, some has to do with just, you know, the reason that sometimes guys migrate to the bullpen, you know, originally in their development path. And so usually some adjustment, some addition, some change has to be made until you kind of get that, you know, rhythm figured out. I mean, even Brett Cecil's year last year is kind of demonstrative of that, as, you know, had, you know, numerous other, you know, examples of that, you know, as you guys have witnessed before. So it's a work in progress. We need to give guys time to settle in, get comfortable, see if they can get in a rhythm and see if they can make adjustments. But at some point, when it comes to bullpens, you just don't have just quite the same dependability and reliability as like a position player who has a track record of hitting, and everything says that even if he goes through a prolonged slump for the first 6-8 weeks of the season, he's still going to progress at some point and hit. Bullpen is not quite as certain.
Mark, Drew Storen's a guy that the organization went out and got in the offseason. He so far has not, I presume, not looked like the guy you thought you were getting. But what are you seeing there? Are there any worrisome signs? You know, a lot of people talked about his velocity and issues there, but, you know, what are you seeing from Drew Storen, and how is he the same or different than the guy you thought you were trading for?
Well, I mean, the difference is he's just the results and the stuff. So, but I mean, what we do see is a guy that is working his tail off, that, you know, cares deeply, and that is, you know, working to figure it out, and has gone through, you know, periods in his career before that he struggled. He does have a pretty prolonged and consistent track record, you know, especially in comparison to the broader bullpen universe. So, again, I think you're both hopeful and, you know, take some solace in the fact that he's been a good performer for a long period of time, and this is probably not the end of his career because he's still a young guy, and that he'll figure it out. Now, as that happens, at some point you need to adjust role and need to figure out a different spot. That's possible. I mean, those are the things that, you know, we're going to need to sit down with Gibby and with Pete and with Dane and try to figure those things out.
Mark, is there any scenario other than reaching a certain number of innings that would see Aaron Sanchez move into the bullpen?
I think the one thing you guys have probably, you know, started to realize with me is I'm not going to give very many absolute answers. So I think you need to continue to search for answers. You can need to continue to be creative. He's certainly been very good, you know, as a starter. And, you know, we don't want to create a culture and environment where we're jerking guys and reacting to short-term results and creating instability. You have very few major league teams and very few major league organizations have any capability of sustaining success when players feel like, you know, there's no foundation and there's no they have no understanding of what to expect each day when they come to the ballpark. So, you know, I don't think we'd make a move that big, Jeff, without really feeling like we'd thought it through, we'd communicated, and that absolutely and clearly was the best alternative.
You know, we know from talking to you and Ross and John Gibbons in spring training that there were some adjustments made in some of the routines with some of the players. Some, you know, for simply because they played a lot of baseball last year, frankly. A lot of guys played more than they have in a long time. Looking back now, was there anything done in spring training that may have contributed to this slow start in your mind?
I mean, we didn't, you know, Ross and I just kind of came in and let, you know, a championship team adhere to the same spring training they've always run.
Okay.
So I think that's more of an answer for someone that's a question for someone that's been here before. You know, we, you know, trusted Gibby and DeMarlo and the guys that have organized spring training and, you know, I had a great success last year. And I do think that's more, while there's could be some collaborative effort between the front office and the field staff, that's, you know, you pick your field staff, and if you're not going to let them run spring training, you pick the wrong field staff. So those were not areas that in the micro Ross and I got involved with.